It is my privilege to welcome you to another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wintley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life, and today I do hope that you will stay with us for our program, because as usual, we have a very intriguing title and topic for you. Pastor Phipps always presents new perspectives on things that we consider to be everyday, you know, or ordinary, and that today is not an exception. Our title today is A True and Faithful Friend. This is program number 168 in our series, and as we often do, well, not often, but sometimes, from time to time, we're going to split this program into two parts. So today you're going to hear A True and Faithful Friend, Part 1. This is our program today on The More Abundant Life. I do hope that you will enjoy the program today and stay tuned. Before the message, here is some special music.
Just seems your world is falling all around. No need to fear, I'll still be there to love you when your friends are gone. Just seems like you've been fighting all alone. I'll dry the tear, I'll still be there to love you. Even though sometimes you feel it hurts to be alone, but I know
crowds came from everywhere. Men, women, and children ran to Peter's house to catch a glimpse of this man who had healing in his hands. Not far from Peter's house lived a man who was completely paralyzed. The Bible calls his ailment palsy. This man had been examined by the doctors and scribes and Pharisees of his day. His case was declared incurable. His friends had heard the words of Jesus. They saw with their own eyes the wondrous miracles he was able to do. They knew that their friend had nowhere else to go, no one else to turn to. It was not lost on them that no case was too difficult for Jesus to handle. And they saw that Jesus turned nobody away who came to him with hope and humility. They saw that those who were mad were made sane again. Have mercy, Jesus. They saw that those who had been palsied were restored. And so they went to their friend with enthusiastic words of witness. Enthusiastic words of testimony. They said, we saw for ourselves what this Jesus can do. Demons tremble at the sound of his voice. Those held captive by habits and consequences of sin are set free. Church, their enthusiasm lit a spark in the heart of that paralyzed man. Make sure when you carry a witness for Christ that you don't have a mournful tone. Yeah, we saw him. We saw what he can do. Make sure when you tell others about this church and your love for Christ, that you do so with enthusiasm. Even if you got to do like that old deacon who always created a ruckus in church, and they finally sent some of the elders to have a talk with him. And as he listened, a tear began to come to his eye, and he said, I'm so sorry for making such a commotion in church, he said, but when I think of how good God has been to me, he said to the elders, hold my mule while I shout. This man who was paralyzed felt that his physical condition was the result of his own sin. And he didn't feel that Jesus would allow somebody like him in his presence. Certainly the Lord says that the man who was paralyzed had loved the pleasures of sin. My God. His life had been a transgression of the law of God, and his bodily affliction was the penalty of his own crime. Mercy. My God. The Pharisees and doctors told him that his case was incurable. They told him he was suffering at God's hand for his sinful lifestyle. You know, it was the custom of the Pharisees to hold themselves back from people who were sick. This man who, by the way, serving the Lord also tells us he was a very wealthy man. But with all his wealth, he couldn't get healed. Have mercy. His money couldn't bring him health, nor could it bring him forgiveness. He knew that he had little time to lose. He was already dying. His flesh, said the servant of God, had begun to decay. His friends heard him crying out in the night season, oh, that I might come into his presence. Their hearts were touched. They began to talk of ways to get Jesus to come see their friend. The paralyzed man heard his friends come up with plan after plan that might work, but none of them seemed practical or feasible. The plans mostly consisted of how to get Jesus to come see their friend. Brothers and sisters, he knew that those plans they had weren't going to work. And this man, he might have been sick in body, but his mind was sharp. He said that day to his friends, listen, you know, one thing you might do is carry me on my bed to Peter's house. Wow, they said, we hadn't thought of that. If you can't get Jesus to come where I am, let's go to where he is. Brilliant. Paralyzed man was carried on his bed through the streets, and as they got close to Peter's house, they realized that it was impossible to get even close to the house. They got as close as they could, so close that they could hear the voice of Jesus, though they couldn't see Christ. And out of, all they could hear was his voice wafting on the wind, coming out the door. Their requests for sympathy of people in the crowd that they would move aside to let a dying man through fell on deaf ears. You didn't hear what I said. The people who were there to hear Jesus, when they were asked, step aside, there's a dying man, they weren't moving. And as they looked at each other in consternation, that man lying on his bed, paralyzed, said to himself, I'm not coming this close to be turned away. I didn't travel all this way to go back home without a blessing. He said to his friends, listen, take me around to the back of the house. We'll break through the roof. As Pastor Brown told me this morning, it was Holy Ghost vandalism. Through the roof. That way you can let me down right in the middle of where Jesus is. And I'm sure the crowd was a little bit confused when clouds of dust, falling debris, was coming on through the house, right where Jesus was. These friends, they didn't ask permission before they dug up that man's roof. Amen. And never before and after was it ever recorded that anyone had the creativity to come through a roof to see Jesus. The roof opened up, the sick man was let down at the feet of Jesus. And right then, Jesus had to stop his Bible study. Jesus had to stop his teaching. And he looked up into the face of this man coming down. Servant of God said, no one had to say anything. Jesus understood. And here's why. That's why I tell people, I read God's word, and I thank God for the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Servant of God said, it was Christ who led that man to himself. It was Jesus who had given him hope on his sickbed. It was the divine spirit of Jesus who stirred the heart of this poor sinner. And while he was yet at home, it was Jesus who brought conviction on his sickbed. What a God. From millions of miles away can bring conviction on your sickbed. Jesus looked at him and in a melodious voice said, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And the Bible tells us immediately. How when? Immediately. Instantly. His physical pain was gone. His whole being was transformed right in front of the multitude's eyes. The paralytic was healed. The guilty sinner was pardoned. The people began whispering among themselves, what is this? We've seen strange things today. And then there was great rejoicing when that paralyzed man took up his bed. Can you imagine if that was you? You'd be dancing a jig. With that bed on your head. Going home to your family rejoicing. He walked through the bed to the roof because of the roof coming down through it. Thank you, Jesus. He walked through that door with that bed on his head. His family shouted for joy. I tell you, Jesus will give you the strength to carry your burdens home. He'll give you the strength to carry your burdens home. And you'll dance a jig. Have mercy. He'll give you the strength to carry your burden of discouragement home. Your burden of depression home. Your burden of guilt home. He walked with a firm step. And as I examined this man's experience in Scripture, I couldn't help but thank God for his friends. You know, we focus on a lot of things, but you got to thank God for this man's friend. Friendship, true friendship, is one of the greatest blessings God has ever bestowed upon us. Someone said, true friends are like diamonds, precious and rare. False friends are like autumn leaves. You can find them everywhere. True friendship is a faint echo of God's divine friendship. Friendships, true friendships, are the convergence of our finest feelings, the binding of hearts in sympathy with one another. True friendships are really unexplainable. They are indefinable. They are precious. They're a trust between souls. To have a true friend is to know you have a place in someone else's heart that you can repose in comfort and confidence. True friendships are a blessing. Amen. 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 True friendships are characterized by communication, unflagging zeal for each other's good. True friendship is the consummate desire to see the good of another. It is the willingness to sacrifice gladly for somebody else's well-being. You got to have a true friend in this life. My wife is my true friend. I know in my wife I have a true friend. If you don't believe it, say something negative about me in her presence. That's just if you don't believe it. In true friendship, there is support. In trial, there is refuge from adversity. In this world we live, where people are bound to each other by ties of blood and color, but friendship, the highest height a relationship can reach, is that height called friendship. At their highest and best, all really powerful relationships are friendships. Most of the relationships in this world are professional. Client, patient, producer, consumer. Hi, how are you? Relationships. You know, folks always answer so quickly. Hi, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. And you know that's not the truth. Often these relationships are cold. They are unfeeling. They are surface. And it is amazing to me how people who are not even your friends can be the most demanding. You know I'm right. Some have those kinds of cold professional relationships in their homes. Husbands talk to wives as though they were clients.
Lord have mercy.
I think I will allow you. Boy, you better not talk like that. Wives talk to husbands as though they are a doctor talking to a patient. Some don't even talk to each other at all. True friendships always seem to be characterized by warmth. God wants us to be a warm people. He wants us to learn how to reach out and draw other people into a relationship of compassion and courtesy. The warmth that others ought to feel from you ought to be a glimpse of the flame of the Holy Spirit that is burning in your spirit. People ought to be able to look at you and tell that you live in God's embrace.
Amen.
True friendships are characterized by unconditional acceptance. That means you treat every man and woman as a child of God because people are accepting you too.
Amen.
As you are.
Yeah.
We don't realize it, but people like us not because of what we are, but often in spite of what we are.
Amen.
If you don't believe me, go look in the mirror. People like us in spite of what we are.
Yeah.
True friendships are characterized by empathy. And there's a difference between sympathy and empathy.
Right.
Sympathy says, I feel sorry for you. Empathy says, I feel what you feel.
Yes,
by the way, true friendships are characterized by concern.
All right.
A true friend will come to you and sit you down.
All right.
And say, brother, I got to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Sister, you're not looking at this right.
My Lord.
It reminds me, down not far from here, you will see two statues. One way down on Pennsylvania Avenue of General Grant.
Mm-hmm.
The other of a man by the name of Rawlins.
All right.
John A. Rawlins.
Mm-hmm.
He was closer to General Grant of the Union Army than any other person. And during the war, General Grant gave to his friend, Rawlins, the solemn pledge that he would abstain from liquor. He said, I'm not going to drink. But he broke his pledge. And his friend went to the general with great earnestness. He pleaded with him. He said, for the sake of yourself, for the sake of this country, for the sake of the great cause of this nation, stop your drinking. And today in front of the state, not capital, not far from here, there stands a magnificent monument of General Grant sitting on his horse, flanked on either side by stirring battle scenes. But on the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, next to the south of the avenue, is Rollins Park. And there stands a very ordinary statue of a friend by the name of John A. Rollins, who kept Grant on his horse. Grant wouldn't be who he was today were it not for the friend who kept him on his horse. Lastly, true friendships are characterized by genuineness and openness. To be genuine is to be free from pretension and snobbishness. Help me, Jesus. You know, when I say help me, Jesus, I really mean it. I'm trying to say things as diplomatically and as carefully as I can. Some people think too much of themselves. Let me tell you, I have to do something for myself to keep my equilibrium. Because when you sing and when you go out amongst crowds, there are people who applaud you, and you've got to do something in your head to keep your feet on the ground. Are you listening to me? So I've often told myself that my greatest fear is that 5 years from now, my real good friends will come to me and say, you know something? You really weren't that good, you know. We were just kind of going along with you, sir. So to be a friend, you got to be free from snobbishness and genuineness, to bear each other's burdens, to help each other through the tough times, to give encouragement when it is needed. This is the gift of friendship. And I'm one of those who are old enough to remember when television came on the scene, when only people who had money had a TV. Now everybody has one. As a matter of fact, sometimes poor people have more TVs. Are you with me today? One day in a small town, the neighbors gathered together to help one of their own set up a new television set. They didn't have the right tools, and things were slow, and along came a man who had just moved into the neighborhood. He had an elaborate toolbox, and he opened it up, and all manners of tools and everything they needed to set up the antenna this man had. And as they stood around in amazement, someone asked the new neighbor, "What do you do? What do you make with all these such fancy tools?" He smiled and answered, "I make mostly friends with these tools." One of the hardest things in life, now I'm going to talk to you serious today. One of the hardest things in life is to be friendly to people who don't consider you a friend. Now, can I talk to you this morning? I'll never forget the day I talked to a former member of another church of the friendship I thought we shared as pastor and friend. I thought we shared this friendship only to be shocked by their response. That person said to me, "You know, we never really saw you as a friend. You were just another pastor who was passing through." All along, I thought we had a friendship. One of the hardest things in life is to be a friend to those who don't see you as a friend. It's hard, are you listening to me, to find the boundaries that other people wish for you to respect when in your heart you're just trying to be friendly. They're laying down borders and boundaries. Somebody say amen. You know what I'm telling you. And I have a problem with that. I just want to be everybody's friend. I just want to, amen. Right. But not everybody wants you to be their friend. Right. So you have to figure out where the boundaries are and respect their boundaries. That's right. It's painful to love those who will not love you back. You have to be friendly, but learn to respect the boundaries they've drawn for their relationships. I hate to burst your bubble this morning, but some people who you think are your friends are just as happy and will be just as happy if they never saw you again. Their lives wouldn't skip a beat. And you went around telling everybody, "Oh, she's my friend." I had to come to a point in my life where even those who may not love me, God has shown me how to respect their boundaries, still love them as my friends. You see, when I get to the kingdom, I know God is not going to ask me if everybody loved me. He's going to ask me, did I love everybody? Amen. He's not going to ask me if everybody loved me. But he's going to ask me, did I love everybody? It is every pastor's dream to have a church not filled with Bible scholars. I tell you, I'm not really interested in a church full of Bible scholars. Because people just go at each other in the name of Jesus with their theology and with their doctrine. It is every pastor's dream. My dream, our dream, is to have a congregation filled with the people who are filled with the love of Jesus so much that the thing they know how to do best is make friends for Jesus. I'm interested in a church where friends of Jesus make friends for Jesus. You didn't hear me this morning. I want this church to be that kind of church where friends of Jesus make friends for Jesus.
Well, that's all the time that we have for today's message. I would like to thank Pastor Phipps for the message. I do hope that you enjoyed it and that you understood it. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office. The phone number is 301-577-6342. That is 301-577-6342. You will want to ask today for program number 168. That will give you the title, A True and Faithful Friend, Part 1. We will be broadcasting part 2 of this message in another broadcast, so I invite you to stay tuned and listen out for it on The More Abundant Life. But until next time, my name is Adrian Wesney Jr. As always, I'd like to wish you God's richest blessings, and I do hope that you will join us again. But until you can, please remember the words that are written in John chapter 10 and verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.